The first record album, and it was called a long-playing record. They made them out of vinyl, if you can imagine. The same thing you make car seats out of. How can that be? The first album I was ever given was Tommy by The Who. Good, thanks. You know, what's that? The sermon goes nowhere. Oh, we're in good shape. Good. In the story of the rock opera, the story, as it were, Tommy is the ultimate outcast. His father has been lost at sea. As a little boy, he witnesses something between his mother and her lover that's not right and is told, "You didn't see it. You didn't hear it. You won't say nothing to no one. Never tell a soul what you know is the truth." And so he becomes deaf, dumb, and blind. Lives in a quiet vibration land, and in his aloneness is abused by a series of rotten caregivers. Somehow, alone and isolated, unresponsive to tests, he manages to become, of all things, a master of pinball. And somehow, and here the story admittedly gets a little vague, through finding this unique, if seemingly unimportant, talent, he is saved. He finds his power. Though there's a moment when he's staring in the mirror and his mother smashes it, and he finds himself the pinball wizard, a miracle cure, and he becomes a kind of cult leader. There are prayer meetings and songs. And some of his followers even seal up their ears, put a blindfold around their eyes, pop a cork in their mouths, and play pinball too, trying to recreate whatever it was that brought Tommy whatever he now has. A community builds around him, but his followers don't understand him, and in the end, they reject him. The parallels to the Christian story are obvious, of course, but what wasn't really obvious to me until recently is how much this piece of music has influenced me. And not just that I love to play the drums as loudly and sloppily as I can. When I close my eyes and imagine Jesus, the man, the teacher that I was taught about in the Congregationalist church I grew up in, I imagine him with his followers, the tax collectors, the sinners, the drunkards, the soldiers, the fishermen, the sick. The same image comes to my mind as I would imagine lying there with the headphones on and the record playing near the end of Tommy, where the pinball wizard is gathered with his followers and he sings to them, "Come to my house. Be one of the comfortable people. Lovely bright home, we're drinking all night, never sleeping. Milkman, come in, and you baker. Little old lady, welcome, and you shoemaker. Come to this house, be one of us. Make this your house. Be one of us." It's a powerful image. And it's right from the Bible, really, evoking the parable of the great feast, to which all are welcome, that is found in the same section of Luke as the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son. All of which have sealed into me the conviction that first and foremost, this religious home of ours must be a welcoming house. Come to this house, be one of us. That first and foremost, if we are followers of love and true builders of community, we must be a welcoming people to all, no exceptions. The broken and the well, the happy and the sad and the mad, the people we take to be normal and the people we take to be weird, and we don't all agree on who's who. All of them must come to this house. Now, we lift up community and a spirit of belonging and being together as one of the things we love most. Think about our community. We make a god of it even at times. And the way to make sure that it is not an idol, this god of community, is to constantly be striving to make it more and more inclusive. A true Unitarian Universalist community that is constantly seeking unity in the midst of diversity through love and healing. And that being Universalist already knows that every person inside and outside these walls is one of the family, already known and loved by God. And that's a real stretch. It's very tempting to want to be with like-minded folks. If we want to be as inclusive as we can be, we have to put ourselves in others' shoes, though that's not always easy, nor even particularly pleasant. Or perhaps we just have to put ourselves back in our own shoes. All of us, I suspect, everyone, has at one time in our lives or another felt like an outcast. Certainly, if you lived through middle school or high school, you endured at least some portion of this. And for some, it was so bad, I even heard a member of our congregation say last week, anticipating the service, I was the outcast even the outcasts rejected. It's a funny statement, but I bet it wasn't funny then. Some of us, of course, decide if we're going to feel like outcasts, we might as well be, and proud of it. And there's definitely some healing energy in that. You are who you are, and how could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? Amen. And when I found myself in that category, being a little smaller than most of the other fellas, and the sort of guy who liked to say, you're using that word incorrectly. I decided I would cast myself out, as it were, and embraced punk rock and its aesthetic. If I had strange and brightly colored hair, I would know then why they didn't want me. And even deliberately underachieved, though I knew I could do better. Maybe I was taking a stand like Tacky the Penguin at the time. So much so, in fact, that even the punk rockers began to seem like a group that you had to be a part of. And so I eschewed the standard black Ramones motorcycle jacket in favor of a modified Michael Jackson studded red shouldered number. Whether it was high school or elsewhere, again, you probably know the territory I'm talking about. Whether it was college or a new job or a new neighborhood, whether it felt like you were an outcast when you had to move away from a family that didn't understand you or your dreams. Perhaps even here, against our best intentions, someone has said or done something that made you feel that you were not welcome. Many here are outcasts from other religious traditions, where from asking too many questions or no longer being able to take things literally or see God as an anthropomorphized old man, you were told you do not belong. If we are to embrace the spirit of community that I think we long for, we actually have to return to that place and know that everyone has been there and remember the pain of it. Think back when we were an outcast and ask, what would I have wanted then? Is it not as simple as the words Tommy sang? See me. Feel me. Touch me. Like, actually touch me. Heal me. The rub, of course, is not to stay there. You can be proud of whoever you are, but you don't need to think of yourself as an outcast forever. Not here, I pray. If we are to become servants of the good, ministers of the hurting and the broken and the sick, which is what we are really here for and where our ultimate happiness lies, we touch that broken heart and remember what it's like for another and welcome them into the house. I was in a weight room recently at a Roseland University prep, an amazing high school in Roseland. And there was a quote that said, "There is no better exercise for the heart than bending down to lift up another." But not paternalistically, not arrogantly, not because we are perfect or lovely, not because we know we are well and they are sick, but because we recognize ourselves in the outcast because we've been there too. We're called to minister to the hurting ones, and that's all of us. There's no one here but outcasts. That's what I love so much of that image of Jesus. He too was an outcast. Interested, as we like to say, I think, in getting heaven into people, not people into heaven, unless heaven is a meal that everybody's invited to. Building beloved community here and a spirit of welcoming then and recalling the hurt of aloneness, we reach our hands beyond these walls, considering those who are outcasts in the community and society, mentally ill people who do not make things easy on themselves sometimes. Addicts, the sick, people without documentation, people without health care or jobs, people who have lost loved ones and are now alone, soldiers returning who cannot speak about the things they have seen, the children of immigrants at Roseland University Prep who are learning English even as they try to graduate high school. Our society, these days more than ever, says you are outside, and I pose a challenge to us, for any of these folk, for us, to get real and concrete about welcoming people into the house. In my imagination, that means we constantly seek to diversify our leadership. It means we celebrate Black History Month, as we are in our music, that we hear different languages, see different faces, that we put art on the wall like I hope you noticed when you came in, showing our living community of nearby Roseland. It means learning and listening from these youth who know what it's like to bring people in. Volunteering for membership, getting over to the breakfast and knowing that's more than putting food in people's stomachs. It's saying you matter. And giving them the gift of not having to endure some lame sermon in order to have breakfast. That's why I never go. It means founding groups where we can admit each other's weaknesses. If we need to grieve together or support each other in our unemployment or our loneliness. And dare I say, it even means being a canvasser and making sure that every single member of the congregation is visited, no matter how much money they do or don't have, because everybody deserves that kind of conversation. The Greek word for salvation relates to a verb for repair. Its usage, it actually evokes the process of repairing a broken lamp. I just learned this recently. Salvation does not convey the broken lamp as fixed. It is the process of fixing a broken lamp. So our true salvation comes not only when we understand that our shard, however broken we feel, however separate and alone, is still part of the lamp, But it comes when, after we wake up to that fact, we also get out the glue and look for the other broken pieces and help repair that lamp. If you don't believe you belong in this human family and in this house of love, if your family threw you out because you were gay or transgendered or too smart or not smart enough, or because you're an addict or confused or weird, or worst of all, square and normal, I'm telling you, you belong in this circle. You belong in this house. Let us continue to commit to getting everybody at the welcome table, to get everybody gathered here in the struggle and the power, to get everybody into the house. One day, it will be so. So be it.